Word of mouth.
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 This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Taylor Quimby, in for Virginia Prescott. If you're a parent, you've likely heard the most dreaded sentence spoken by your child: I'm bored. You can provide countless suggestions to cure the dreaded disease of childhood boredom, but chances are the only way to truly get rid of it is to join forces with your kids. Elizabeth Foy Larson is a writer and editor whose stories on children and families have appeared in the New York Times, Los Angeles Times, Mother Jones, and Parents. She co-wrote the new book, Unbored Games: Serious Fun for Everyone, with Joshua Glenn. Elizabeth, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Great to be here. Thank you.
Your earlier book, Unbored, was about all kinds of ways to fight boredom. This book focuses solely on games. So why do you think games deserved a whole separate book?
Well, for several reasons. First of all, we were thinking about different ways that kids can have fun with each other or with their families. And as kids get older, one of the things they still like to do, or at least my kids still like to do with their parents, is play games. But also because they emphasize a lot of skills that we think are important to today's kids, including problem solving, another one which is trying things over and over and over again until you get it right. So to master a game, you have to practice a lot. We also love games because games are a natural way for kids to customize things that they don't necessarily like. So we encourage the kids that read our book to take different kind of games, whether it's Monopoly or a more complicated video game, and use it in a way that makes sense to them.
Kind of hack it, I guess, is the new terminology.
You would say hack it. Yes, that is the terminology.
Okay, well, there's so many examples in the book across so many different types of games, so let's just get into some. Many of them don't require special equipment or a traditional game board. Some, one of my favorites, just requires pen and paper, like Exquisite Corpse. Now, how does this game work?
So it's a game that where you fold up a piece of paper sort of like a fan with accordion folds. So the first person draws the head of whatever this creature or person is that you're going to be. And it could be an animal head, it could be a human head, it could be a fantasy creation. And then you turn it over, then the next person in the game maybe makes the body or the upper part of the torso, and so on and so on. You can play it either with two people or you can play it with a bigger group.
And I guess the whole idea is that so one person starts, the next person can only just see a little bit of what that first person did. I guess
so you might see the shoulder marks just so you know
right.
Basically where you are supposed to draw, but you wouldn't see anything else.
And it's like this creative collaboration. Nobody exactly knows what the finished product is going to look like until it's done, and then you've got it there.
Yes. That's part of what we also like about games, is that some are complex and you have to buy a whole board and a kit, but a lot of the games in our book also just require something as simple as a deck of cards or dice.
Well, one game that requires absolutely no materials, and I'm a big fan, everybody in the office knows that this is how I like to make all the important decisions around Word of Mouth, is through rock, paper, scissors.
Yeah.
And this book provides what I thought were a really fun couple of alternative ways to play. For example?
You can do what we call rock, paper, scissors, lizard, Spock. And this is something that was popularized on The Big Bang Theory, which I know my kids love. The scissors are just the normal V. The Spock is the two finger on each side V. And then the lizard is where your fingers and your thumb are together almost like a circle. And it's got its own hierarchy in the same way that rock, paper, scissors has.
We mentioned hacking. Hacking an existing activity to make it sort of more game-like does seem to be a theme throughout the book. Alka-Seltzer Battle makes a squirt gun fight into something a little crazier. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that game?
Okay.
And specifically, I guess, how do you win?
Well, you know, some of our games, first of all, it's pretty hard to tell who wins, and that's another thing that we like to emphasize, is that part of the fun about games is simply the act of playing them. But the Alka-Seltzer Battle is one that actually does have a winner. So you take an Alka-Seltzer tablet and you drill a little hole in it, then you put a piece of yarn through it and you wear it like a charm on a necklace. And then with either a squirt gun or probably better yet, a super soaker.
Oh, yeah.
each And the point of the game, which again should be played probably in a bathing suit, is to squirt water at the Alka-Seltzer tablet until it completely dissolves. And so the first person for it to dissolve is out, and the last person who still has the tablet around their neck wins.
There are indoor games, outdoor games, but you also dedicate a few of the pages to online games and apps. So I'm wondering, why did you think it was important to include the computer-based stuff that parents might think we're actually trying to get away from?
For several reasons. First of all, this is the world today that kids live in. And I think we think that there are a lot of creative uses for digital games, that we didn't want to do a book that was just sort of a nostalgic throwback to the kind of games we played as kids, although there are plenty of them in there because we love them and think they're great. There are lots of creative ways to use Minecraft. Teachers are using Minecraft to teach anything from design and like city planning to other kind of strategy-based decisions. So we wanted to do a book that celebrated that these kind of games are great as well, with the caveat being that the only thing as a parent that you have to watch out for with these games is whether or not your child can easily transition off of them.
So if you were going to say, and I know this has got to be tough, there's so many games, but what's your hands-down absolute favorite from the book, the one that you play the most, the one that you are most excited about to include in the book?
My favorite game that I play with my kids is a game called Anomia, and it is a word association card game that you play in a group. And we interviewed its creator, and his name is Andrew Innes, in the book. So we really wanted to have kids learn that games aren't just these things that are just sort of imposed on you. They're a process and something you can create. So it was important for us to have someone in the book who had actually done it and had gone through all of the different processes of putting a game together and trying it and having it fail and figuring out what the right way was to do it. So I love Anomia, and it's particularly great because just two decks of cards. We take it, my family takes it on trips. We play it at home. So that's my favorite.
Well, Elizabeth, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Elizabeth Foy Larson is a writer and editor whose stories on children and families have appeared in the New York Times, the Los Angeles Times, Mother Jones, and Parents. She co-wrote the new book, Unboard Games, Serious Fun for Everyone, with Joshua Glenn, which is a follow-up to their best-selling book, Unboard, The Essential Field Guide to Serious Fun. You can find a link to both books at our website, wordofmouthradio.org.